This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Good morning and welcome to Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George, and today is an interesting day because I think yesterday the government outed its, well, multiple times actually, but the most recent one was the removal of the mandate, at least for a year, that insurance companies would have to hold down individual out-of-pocket expenses. For those who don't know what that means, it means it's a free-for-all, and they're going to raise this until they can't raise it anymore, and good luck to you if you really need medical help, in a nutshell. You know, I've been preaching about this for over 3 years, I guess, now, and I've looked back on things I've written in my blog. I feel like I've actually been a soothsayer, in a sense, because everything that I've said to this point is coming true. I wish I was wrong, but it only takes common sense and paying attention to figure out exactly what's cooking. Now, I don't know if you know what the Cloward Piven strategy is. Have you ever heard of that, Dave?
I'm sorry, what?
Cloward Piven strategy.
No.
It's interesting. And I'm looking at Wikipedia now, but it's a political strategy outlined in 1966 by two American sociologists who worked at Columbia, Richard Cloward and Francis Fox Piven. And their system or their theory was underpinned by overloading the U.S. public welfare system in order to precipitate a crisis, which would lead to replacement of the welfare system with a national system of guaranteed annual income. Total social engineering. And that is being used across the board right now in the United States. And I know we've talked about Alinsky technique and all sorts of underhanded psyops that's going on. But this one is going on right now with medicine. It's going on with immigration. It's going on with a ton of things all at the same time. Just, you know, don't you feel like, I think we've talked about it in the past, just overwhelmed. Like every day you turn around, something else is going on. They're closing embassies. There's another terror alert. There are shootings everywhere. There's all of a sudden just mass chaos, and it's ramping up. It's not getting better. Every time the United States citizens try to take a stand on something, they get overridden, they get ignored, they get talked down to, they get treated like children, and it's a strategy. People need to understand there's a bigger picture going on here. While they keep you distracted with the next, you know, Entertainment Tonight piece of the week, the Martin case in Florida went on forever ad nauseum. There is now race, and every time there's turnaround, there's a race story with somebody getting attacked, and it's completely one-sided, but it's for a reason. So if it's a black person or a minority who gets attacked, it's the biggest news ever, and all white people are evil. And if it's the opposite, which happened recently, I think it was Florida again, I don't know what's going on down there, but a school bus beat down where three kids wailed on this kid. And I'm not exactly sure it was racist. I can't say that. But if it had been the opposite way, it would have been painted, no question, as a racial incident.
If I can throw something out here.
Sure.
I don't know if you've been keeping up with it. And I was very concerned about this as much as I can, that it doesn't matter anyway. But during the Trayvon Martin trial, I kept having the feeling that the parents weren't quite as legitimate as they were being made out to be. And I also had the gut feeling that they were going to try to make a buck out of this off of their son being killed, which, you know.
Well, they kind of did because they trademarked his name. So every time you put a T-shirt or.
Have you seen this lately? Now the father was invited to be. He's now an honorary captain of some of the football team.
Really?
And now he's going to flip the first coin at the football game. And, you know, this, you know, I'm sorry about anybody being killed, you know. And like it was pointed out many times, yeah, the one shooting in Florida and at the same time in Chicago, it was mass murder, you know. I mean, a shooting every time you turn around, and yet nothing was said about it. But you take the case of Martin Zimmerman, that's a case. That's over here by itself, in mm-hmm. my opinion. But then you take the family that's doing all of this other stuff, and that poster that they put in the Florida State House or whatever it was.
It's trying to manufacture a crisis in order to drive a response so that they can do what they want to do. This is exactly what we're talking about. This is the fact that it's so hypocritical, over the top hypocritical. Another white person was beaten by 50 black people. I don't know what city it was. It's some sort of gang. The guy's in the hospital. I think he's in a coma. Nothing on the news. So if people like Al Sharpton and the other race poverty pimps were really on the up and up, they would decry anybody being beaten for a race. But they don't, because it doesn't serve their interest.
That's
what it's about.
Doesn't make them a buck.
No, it doesn't. But they're not working for themselves. They're working for the system. You know, Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton have been doing this since I was a kid, before I was a kid. But I remember living in New York, Tawana Brawley, you name it. Finally, the person that she defamed is going to get their money. She has to pay him back. But this is ongoing. The fact that this man even has any credibility at this point is tragedy. But if you really look at it again, these people are being shoved down our throat. It's the media propping these people up, trying to legitimize them. Now they've anointed Hillary Clinton as the winner of the Democratic nomination. Really? Talk about Benghazi. Talk about God knows what else they've done. This woman has got more blood on her hands than any woman out there that I can think of, except probably Susan Rice and Amanda Power, since they do a lot of stuff in the UN that leads to death of black people most of the time. In Africa, they're being slaughtered 24/7. Nobody says a thing. Drone strikes. I mean, it's just such a double standard in your face while they're saying they're not doing it. I mean, my favorite now is the president getting on and talking about how the Republicans want to see the elderly die because they just want to see health care fail and have 30 million people not be covered. I have news for you. 30 million people still won't be covered under this bill, maybe more. Because by the time you take off cost controls, by the time you take off or add in rising premiums, doctors leaving by the boatload, and hospitals, you know, consolidating and actually limiting the amount of time or amount of access, then you're not going to have health care. What you do have is them raising Medicare reimbursements to hospices 1%. Everybody else is taking a hit, but hospices get a 1% raise? What does that tell you? What's their strategy? It's a culling. It's a divide and conquer, get you to join a system that's not in your interest while telling you how lucky you are to be able to access it. It's complete ridiculousness. Anybody's got a brain should really start to think about this critically.
Have you ever seen anybody just lie like Obama?
It's not just him. It's Congress.
Well, no, it's all of them.
It's everybody.
But I was watching him the other day, and it was just like, it just, the truth doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't. And the end game is afoot. I wrote about this maybe 2 years ago now. Obamacare end game is socialized medicine, single payer. They have a very limited time to get this done. And now they've decided we're just going to go all in. We don't care anymore. We don't care what you think. We're going to implement this. We're going to change the rules even when we can't. He's actually making these mandates. This is a law. Unfortunately, God forbid, but it is. You cannot have the executive branch coming in and deciding what gets implemented in a law. That's not constitutional. But they're doing it 24. Nobody says a thing. What happened to impeachment? Because they're not interested in impeachment. What they're interested in is keeping us looking at the shiny thing, which is Republicans say they're going to do something. Oh, we're gearing up to do something. We really want to repeal it. And they're doing squat, except trying to maneuver themselves so they can get back in the next time. I talked to a friend last night, and I said the only thing that I would do is vote every single incumbent out. You cannot trust them. They're not on your side. They are on their own side, the UN side, the globalist side. It's not the America. It's not America anymore. It's been usurped with a lot of people telling you how wonderful everything is and lying to you 24/7. I think a lot of people are figuring out that it's not what it appears to be, but they don't know what's going on. Because you have all these, it's like a cloud. And it does take some effort. It takes stick-to-itness. It takes courage to actually start peeling back the layer of this thing and finding out the truth. It's not pretty. It's not right. I mean, it's devastating. But if you put your head in the sand, if you depend on the government to take care of you, you're going to be dead. You're going to end up in a one-way ticket to a hospice. I should make a t-shirt. That's why Obamacare, it equals a one-way ticket to a hospice. It's not about health care. It's about death, and it's about control, and it's about taking your money, your privacy, your freedom, and becoming part of a collective Borg, a Borg hive. And the fact that Kathleen Sebelius can say it wasn't a bait and switch, someone should throw a tomato in her face. I mean, really? How does she have the guts to even get on TV and say some nonsense like that?
That's what I'm saying. I've never seen the lies just roll out, and I mean, they never even blink.
It's an alternate reality. If you keep saying it long enough, it's true, in their opinion. But it's moving the ball down the field. As soon as people stop being able to afford health care, which is coming, as soon as there's no reputable doctors in it who actually care about their patients, as soon as they remove all freedom, meaning the ability to buy supplements, Codex Alimentarius, they've been trying to kill that thing globally forever. And there's still another Senate bill, and that moron, what's his name, Dick Durbin, he can't stand supplements. So he's been doing his damnedest to try to outlaw them, make them impossible to get. It's not because he wants it. It's because he's being driven and paid for by the pharmaceutical industry, who want no competition. This is what it's about.
Do you think, and it's at hand, it's moments
it's there.
Away.
It is on the doorstep.
Do you think the slap in the face of the bill will help at all for people to wake up? I know that they're already, we're already seeing some of it. I had a friend go in for a simple shot that he has to have monthly, and walked in the door, and it was $750, and he said, "What?" And the insurance company was no longer paying for it. Well,
that's the latest version of the story that I've heard, especially for people on Medicare. What used to be covered is no longer covered. I talked about this, again, ages ago when they stopped covering Avastin, which is a cancer drug for breast cancer. But it had been used for ovarian cancer and was getting good results. And they decided in Arizona was the first state to do it. We're not going to cover it because only about 1% of people will really have a benefit from it. Well, you know what? If I'm in that 1%, I want the drug. Who are you to stop me since I paid into the system? You get to decide. I just get to pay in, and then you get to decide what I get done. And I'm supposed to say, okay, thank you. You care more about me than I do about myself. What part of nonsense is that? Are you insane? Really? It's mass insanity.
Do you think, and when we come back, I'd like for you to address this. Do you think the... as they start getting slapped in the face and as they start waking up to what's happening, do you think they will, and when I say they, we will finally stand up and start protesting and start, you know, if it takes going to the street, go to the street.
Go further than the street. We'll talk about that when we come back.
We'll be back right after this.
For years, Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center has been providing outstanding care to patients of all ages. They are dedicated to patient satisfaction and have been the recipient of the Georgia Otolaryngology Association Patient Satisfaction Award. They welcome any questions you may have about their services. Their practice includes treatment of asthma, allergies, sleep apnea, snoring, hearing impairments, and chronic sinus disease. Dr. Elena George is a board-certified ear, nose, and throat surgeon. Her training in New York has included training at Manhattan Eye, Ear, and Throat Hospital and Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center. She believes in practicing both the art and science of medicine. All patients are seen by Dr. George. All treatment options are discussed, and time will be spent to answer all questions. Their office is located in Atlanta at 1776 Peachtree Road in Suite 260 North Tower, two blocks south of Piedmont Hospital. They are open Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. Additional details are available at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. At Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center, you can be confident that you are in good hands with their professional team.
Hi, this is Dave Smith. Listen every Monday to America's Web Radio, The American Dream. my past background with healthcare, being president of insurance companies. We'll keep you informed on healthcare and other topics that's going on in Washington and around this great country. American Dream, 10 a.m., America's Web Radio.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know skipping doses of medication can be dangerous? If you have a chronic medical condition like diabetes or high blood pressure, it's important to take the medication prescribed by your physician. It is also important to remember that although you take a medicine to treat a condition, it is not a cure for the underlying medical condition. It is used to control it. For example, taking medication for diabetes will lower your blood sugar. However, if you stop taking the medication, the sugar will rise again. Changes in both diet and lifestyle, like adding exercise to your routine, are equally important. Working with your physician by following his or her recommendations is the key to controlling your disease and maintaining your health. Ask questions if you don't understand something. Taking control of your health is the key to wellness. Please join me Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
This is America's Webradio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George and Dave, and we're talking about the truth of Obamacare and what you need to do to save yourself. Dave, before the break, said that people should go out and demonstrate and make their voices heard, and that's great, but it'll do nothing, okay? I'm going to just be honest with you. What has it done so far? We did it with TARP. We did it with immigration. We've done it with, gosh, I don't, the list is endless, and they could care less. They're going to do them. What they do understand is money. You starve the beast, you stop the system, period. Forget repeal. Don't go into an exchange. If you're a physician, stop treating patients who, as a member of being within this system. I know it's hard to do. I know it takes courage again. You know, you have to put yourself out there. But if you decide that I'm just going to let somebody else do it, then they're going to do it to us. I'm not a hero. When I get on this show every week, it's like going to a therapy for me personally. But I'm doing it because I can't live any other way. I can't have someone tell me what to do for my patient. I reread my Hippocratic Oath, and that trumps anything the government's going to try to make me do. I don't care about Holder. I don't care about Obama. I don't care about those people because I have to sleep at night. And if I inadvertently or overtly kill somebody because I can't offer them the services that they want, then I shouldn't be a doctor, period. And anybody who thinks it's okay just to go along and get along, you're complicit and you're part of the problem, and I don't have any respect for you. It's not about, it is what it is. So you're going to do you with the safety, you know, everything is about safety and you're afraid someone needs to take care of you. It's not going to be the outcome that you think that you're going to get. And that's what happened with this Obamacare situation. It was a fear tactic. They lied from the beginning. The premise was, in this country, people die because they don't have health care. It's not true. People die because they don't choose not to access health care, but because of EMTALA, which is a government, you know, a congressional law that went into effect in 1986, if you walk into any emergency room anywhere in this country, whether you're a citizen or not, they have to treat you. I don't care if it's for earwax, I don't care if it's for a hangnail, I don't care if it's your toe hurts or you have a heart attack. They have to treat you. They cannot turn you away. It's illegal. So for them to start off with that premise was a lie. Am I going to call it disingenuous? It's a freaking lie, which made everybody think, oh my God, I'm going to die if I get sick. And those of us who are healthy, who don't really care about the system because we're not in it and we don't have anybody, you know, we don't have no need to really think about it. That's the perfect person. That's who they were speaking to because they don't know what it is. And they were led to believe that if I get a cold, I'm going to be in the poorhouse. That's what ginned up this irrational fear. Then here they come with, we have the answer. We're going to overhaul the healthcare system. Look, I'm no big fan of the healthcare system the way it is now. And I guess in a few minutes we'll go back to what it was. But right now we've got a third-party payer system, which went online probably in earnest about 25 years ago. and it's just gotten stronger and stronger with the government help. So basically what you have now is a fee system that's fake, that's not set up by the doctors at all, that's been superimposed on us by the government and the private health insurance industry to literally suck money out from both the doctor and the patient while they skim it off the top and then create false lack. They create the disparity between those who have money to access health the way they want to and those who have to use insurance or use the government for assistance. It's false. It's artificially created in order to make us hate each other, to make us feel or actually accept being gouged. You know, if you went into a hospital and it cost you 10 times more than it costs to see a person in private practice, but you had the mindset, everybody's been told doctors charge so much money, that's so expensive, don't go to a private practitioner because they'll put you in the poorhouse, when in actuality, it's the opposite. Independent doctors have the lowest prices compared to clinics, especially hospital-based clinics, and people were driven that way. Let's go to the ER because it's going to be too expensive to see a private doctor. It's all PSYOP. So they're driving the system in such a way that it became more expensive. If you talk to somebody who's 70 years old and practicing medicine, I can guarantee you they charge the same amount of money they charge when they first opened their practice. They don't take insurance. They probably don't. They still have paper charts. They're not in electronic medical records land. But they're actually the best docs out there because it was all about the individual patient, all about the doctor-patient relationship and being able to artfully decide what you do to treat a person every time they come in, not just blanket. And that's what it became. And that's what drove up the cost. Look, I'm not that old, but I remember seeing the past system. You travel with your attendings, you go to their offices, see them and their patients, and tag along. It was amazing. I mean, they'd spend 45 minutes with the patient, talk about their kids. It was very personal. The patient was thrilled. By the time they left, they felt like they got care. That's why I'm the same way, because that's what I learned to do. And it was $85 a visit, maybe $150. And I'm talking ENT now. Maybe tops, if you had all sorts of scopes done, maybe about $500 a visit. That's not the case anymore. Okay, so the patient actually had a very small copay to their premium to their insurance, and they paid the doctor cash on that visit. If they got sent for a lab, if they got sent to the hospital for a surgery, then their insurance was engaged. Totally appropriate. So they weren't taking on every hangnail, every wax removal, because when that happens, they're going to cut care because they don't want to pay out for everything. So they're going to start deciding, cherry picking what they want to pay for. And they don't want to pay for the most expensive items. They want to pay for the cheap ones. And if you do have expensive stuff, they're going to make you jump through all sorts of hoops. You have to have, for example, sinus infection for 9 months before you're allowed to even think of getting a CT scan. Meanwhile, you've been sick and you've been in the doctor's office every 2 weeks. You've been on 10 antibiotics. Your quality of life sucks, but they don't care. They want you to practically be, a death's door, at least back in the day. Now I can't speak to that. But, I mean, you really have to suffer before they'll approve it. Then my favorite is the patient finally is okay for surgery. You talk to the insurance company. You get approval to do it. You talk to the person. You get a number. You do the case, and they deny you payment. Fun. It's awesome. Then you have to fight them every time you do a denial. It takes 30 days for them to respond to your denial. And once you appeal for the third time, that's a year later, basically. Well, let's say 6 months. Then you have to go to a committee. I mean, I've been paid years after doing cases, in some cases, fighting all the way. But I'm a fighter. But there's a lot of doctors who don't even know what's going on. So they've done the case, never know that they've not gotten paid. And then you wonder why they're all running now to hospital. Because there's no way that anybody in a huge practice can spend the time to look over, fine-tooth comb everything. And you're getting screwed probably about 30, 40% of the time out of getting your payment. So it's human nature. That's, you know, I understand why people don't want to do it themselves. But you don't have a choice anymore. I mean, the system now is in such a state that if you don't physically stop it, it will run over you. I'm not going to have that happen to me. I'll be gone before that happens, but I actually care. And to have the best system in the world devastated for raided, it's like it's like being, like having pirates come in and just loot the place is what they're doing. And this is the last bit of the looting. Now that they've stopped the mandate for cost control for the patient, trust me, the insurance companies are going to go hog wild because they realize that their time is coming to an end. This is their last little, like the banks, it's their last, you know, vacuum, you know, Hoover time before they get put out of business, because they will now be controlled by the government. Once the system breaks, there's no socialized medicine with UnitedHealthcare and Aetna as freestanding. That's not happening. They probably become Medicare Advantage types, where they're held under the government neck as well. I mean, their necks are under the government foot as well. So they're going to go party time, and then they're going to cash out when the system changes over. But in actuality, we're going to be left holding the bag. So, I mean, if you decide that you think that Obamacare is fabulous, I just have one question for you. Have you read the bill? Or are you listening to Oprah tell you that it's a good thing? Or Alicia Keys? Or some idiot who would never, ever use the system themselves? I wanted someone who's going to use the system to tell me how great it is. I don't want Congress to tell me when they've opted out. I don't want the president to tell me, since I know he can go anywhere in the world to get help. He doesn't have to go anywhere. They'll come to him. These Hollywood types, if they're not in rehab or some sort of, you know, area that they're the last people who should be preaching to anybody, telling me how happy I should be and how I should just join up. It sounds scary, doesn't it? It sounds like we're being led to slaughter.
You know, in my opinion, Obamacare, the medicine, and I sent you, I emailed you last week regarding a show I want to do, but Obamacare and the medical side of all of this, in reality, is one portion of, they want the one-payer plan, which is the UK, whatever.
Yeah.
But really, the medical end of this is just one part of taking over our entire lives. From the medical standpoint, they want to control us from birth to death.
Mm-hmm.
But economically, they want to control us. They want gun control. They want control over everything. They want, we already see it in schools. They want control of our kids. They want control, and I say they, and I'm not even, you know, I'm not even sure I could identify who they are.
Oh, I can identify them now. It's the UN. It's the corporate interest. It's the crony class who stand to gain, correct? But that's a lot of different, you know, let's tease it out a little bit. Corporate America does not play by the same rules as the rest of America. And small business is on the front line of that. Whatever happens when they pass these mandates, these regulations, it never serves the small business owner because it's too expensive. I mean, most of us operate at very small margins of profit. When you start cutting into that, but you have to take a course and you have to spend extra money. A fascinating thing on Fox the other night, they had three small businesses on. And one guy said, he's a produce, I think he do produce. They have to give their, four times a year now, as opposed to one, they have to do a full assessment of their inventory, which takes away time, costs tons of money. Four times a year? Does that even make any sense? But a huge, you know, concern like Tyson or, you know, some of the huge, you know, producers, they could care less. They're just going to write it off. They've got enough people. It's another method of removing your competition. It's not a level playing field. And I said this before, the people who have to rig the game to take everybody else out, to give themselves an advantage, are less than. If it were a level playing field, they would lose. Their products suck. They are killing people. They're cheap because they're crap. And if people really would pay attention and start thinking about themselves, their health, their future, they wouldn't buy half the stuff. They wouldn't do half the things that are leading themselves down a path where they're going to be in the system medically. You know, there's options, there's choices, and you really have to look within to decide what's best for you. and stop living in an idol. You know, everybody's an idol. Everybody's a celebrity. I want to follow them and be like them. They're not what they appear to be. And if you do try that, you end up really behind the eight ball. It's not helping you. It's just leading you down the path. And, you know, I want to give the medical side of that when we come back. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that wellness and prevention is the key to living a long and healthy life? For example, common diseases such as acid reflux, high cholesterol, non-insulin-dependent diabetes, and high blood pressure in some cases are caused by poor nutrition. Scientific studies suggest the use of nutritional supplements, a healthy diet, and exercise can control and in some cases prevent disease. Use nutritional supplements that are formulated using good manufacturer practice standards. And remember to let your doctor know what you are taking, since it can react with prescription medication. Please join me Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
Have you heard of quantitative fluid analysis? Commonly called QFA, this test assesses your body at a cellular level and gives insight into your illness. Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center offers the QFA, an FDA-approved test that can often provide early diagnosis of conditions before they can be detected with other tests. Dr. Elena George believes in an integrative approach to medicine. She believes in treating the problem and not the symptom. Following a review of your results, Dr. George will suggest treatment approaches such as nutritional counseling and/or the use of pharmaceutical-grade enzymes and nutritional supplements. Surgery and prescription medication will be recommended only when necessary. Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center is located in Atlanta at 1776 Peachtree Road Northwest in Suite 260 North Tower, two blocks south of Piedmont Hospital. They are open Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. Additional details are available at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. Call their office at 404-591-9100 to make an appointment and mention that you heard this ad on Radio Sandy Springs and get 10% off of QFA testing.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George and Dave, who is, you know, my counterpoint. And we're talking today about Obamacare and control and about the power that you actually still have if you choose to take it. They're afraid of us. You know, I don't think that they, first of all, they can't stand us and they disrespect us. But they actually are afraid of the United States citizens, because if we ever started to take our power back, they would run screaming. They depend on us being distracted. They do their darndest to make sure we're distracted. If you actually look at half the stuff on TV, it's all the news is the same. They're given the same story over and over again. At some points, you know, you're in an airport or something, and you watch CNN, it's the same loop, like every 40 minutes. It's like hypnotizing. You know, you just get into the same, whatever's important, all that's important is on this screen. Like there's nothing else relevant outside of TV. That has to stop. You have to start living your life. You can't live it through Kim Kardashian and the rest of this crew who's actually, they're in there to actually distract you further. To make you think that, you know, life of the rich and famous and cribs and all this other stuff is what you should aspire to. And it's not about individual freedom, and it's not about being special and being actually yourself. And the way they make this bully, I mean, this is another psyops, this bully stuff. Listen, everybody's been bullied. I punched one in the face, it was over. If my mom didn't take care of one, I did, you know, but the bottom line is it stops when you stand up to them. And they're making this bully situation into a bully situation. If you speak your mind, you've hurt someone's feeling. Oh my God, I don't know if you heard this. I'm sorry to digress, but you can't use the word brown paper bag or citizen in Washington, D.C., because it will offend somebody. I'm not even sure who's going to offend, but are you kidding me?
Brown paper bag or what?
Or a citizen.
What are we offending?
I don't know. I don't even know who we're offending. But That's what they're trying to pull. You know, they're saying you should bring, say it's sack lunch. Are you kidding? Stop. People just need to stop and say, just call them on it. First of all, I don't care what you think. You're not going to bully me. I know I'm not a racist or a sexist or whatever it is that they're trying to shove on you. And don't cower. That's what they're doing. They're using the power of the word to subjugate us, to sublimate us, to make us somehow internalize something that we must be bad because, you know, they say so. I mean, this clown who wore the Obama mask is now blacklisted. They think he needs counseling. Come on. And that he's the bull is, a symbolism of him trying to hurt the president. It just went on and on. But somebody needs to stand up and sing, just laugh in their face. Really? Open up an alternate clown school or whatever. Just don't give them the power. When you cower, you actually empower these folks to go to the next level. It's so absurd already, but it can only get more absurd.
Okay, when I go trick-or-treating, are you telling me I can't wear an Obama mask?
You might not be able to. First of all, it's racist, Dave. It's sad, you know, it's really sad. I mean, what can I say?
Sad, sick. It's beyond, I mean, I can't comprehend.
Well, frankly. I can, it's control. The UK is just watch how the UK runs, and that's where we're going.
Have you ever known a Halloween to go by that they didn't have a president's mask?
No, not at all.
So what is this thing in our White House? We can't have his mask, but he's president?
Well, you can't speak ill of the president. It's like, and somebody used an example, you can't speak ill of any totalitarian leader. Otherwise, you get hauled into something. Right now, it's just social pressure. But what happens when it becomes something more insidious?
I couldn't tell you the number of times that I opened the door on a Halloween night during the Nixon administration, and here are six little kids waving their two fingers with a Nixon mask on. So was I just supposed to pull out my gun and shoot them? Or, you know.
I don't know. Maybe now you might have to, but it's just all PC, Dave. It's what it's about. And the PC police.
I guess I ain't PC, you know.
Well, PC
and
is,
I don't want to be.
PC is stupid. Listen, words, what did your mother tell you? Sticks and stones and words? It's the same principle, but they're using the words to control behavior. So if you're against Obamacare, all of a sudden you're a racist. You're a sexist. You're a classist. You're against women because it offers free birth control. You're against...
Well, you got two strikes against you.
I know.
Realize that.
Coming I don't even know why I'm living office. At this point. And if you're a minority... You know, person of color, if you're against Obamacare, then you're an Uncle Tom or whatever, or, you know, you're against poor people. But what it really does, and it's interesting, I thought about this, words mean so much. We talk about liberal versus conservative, and liberal is supposed to be inclusive and expansive and, you know, freedom. That's what you think of when you think of liberty and progressive. And conservative, you think more of stay the course, go back in time. But in actuality, it's the opposite in the way this is being, this is rolled out in our life. The liberals are the most non-inclusive, the most, they don't respect people. They put us in boxes. So if you're a woman, automatically, should automatically want every child to be able to be aborted at the whim of the parent. And they don't become living creatures until the parent feels that way. What the ass? That's just complete ridiculousness. So this is what liberals are espousing. It's about control. It's about if you don't think the way we do, then there's something wrong with you. And we're going to ostracize you or make you into a bully or a racist or some label that's going to take you out of society and make you feel bad about yourself until you come back to the herd, until you play the game. And conservatives are the opposite at this point, especially libertarian. You have the right, the freedom to do whatever you want in what your God-given talent is, as long as it doesn't mean you hurt somebody or you take advantage of somebody or in some way you step on someone else's rights. If people saw it like that, they would think of progressives completely differently. They spend their time trying to tell people how bad they are because, or how stupid they are because they're a certain race, or how someone, it's a professional victim mentality. And the sad part is, you're not a victim because you may have made bad choices. You're a victim because someone did something to you. And this is the worst part to me. Somebody else's success took away from you somehow. That is completely, if you think that, then you will be on board for everything that comes down the pipe. And that's what they've spent the last 8 years or 40, whatever the heck, doing, is to indoctrinate people into thinking that if I didn't make it, it's not because I was lazy or not talented or maybe I shouldn't be doing what I think I want to do. It's not about that. It's about somebody who's doing well, who's working five jobs, who's playing by the rules, is a bad person and took it from you. They owe you. And it's only fair that you take it from them. These are the mindsets that's come to pass. And healthcare is the same way. Healthcare is not a right. And I went to college, so I became liberal for a while. It's not a right. It's not a privilege either. It's a service. And if you can, I think it should be fairly accessible. And that means taking the middleman out who's jacking up and rigging prices and price fixing and forming cartels. If that's out, then it actually becomes a lot more egalitarian. Dr. Eck has been on our show. She was the president of AAPS, and she has a clinic in New Jersey where it's all based on fee-for-service, and they give charity care as part of their mandate. She probably treats more patients for free than anybody in that state, yet she's still open. Yet she's not, you know, on the dog food line. So it must work. And the quality of care that she gives is what she trained to do, which is much higher than the average doc in any part of this country who's joined the gravy train, the line of give me a check and I'll do whatever you want. I'll jump through whatever hoops you want. I'll close the door on whatever patient you want me to. And it's only going to get worse because Obamacare is capitation. And for those who don't know what that is, that means the government gives, or insurance company gives you a pot of money for a year, let's say $100,000, and you can see as many patients as you can see, and whatever you have at the end of that year is what you keep. Tell me that doesn't mean rationing. So that means you won't order the test because it takes out of that pot. It means that you won't have the patient come back for office visits. It actually pays you more not to see the patient because then you get to keep the pot. That's what's going on under Obamacare. That's how it's set up. It is set up as the capitated HMO plan for everybody. It's not about access. It's the opposite. And not only will the government decide what you get treated, they'll keep your money. So when you're paying this every month, every biweekly out of your paycheck into this pot, Obamacare pot, that's supposed to be used for catastrophic people with chronic disease, that's not going to happen. Those guys are being shuffled out into hospice because it's cheaper and they won't live as long and they won't cost the system as much. This is big picture thinking here. But this is business. This is, the government is not your mother. It's the government. And it's like any insurance company. Their whole goal is to make as much money as possible, stay in business, consolidate power.
And they're not your friend.
They can't be by definition because their interests work against yours. Your interest is to get the best care that you and your doctor decide that you need, not deserve, need. That will rub up against what the government wants to pay. 1/6 of the economy is health care. If they control that, then we're talking about more centralization of power. There's no other way to see it. They control the healthcare dollar. They control how much you have to pay. They can jack up the price as much as they want as a tax. And what are you going to do? Nothing, because it's coming out of your paycheck. So first they give you the, you know, they poison the insurance companies by allowing them to raise their prices, which you know they'll do. Then the government will step in and say something like, oh, this is so horrible. The insurance companies are just gouging the system. We're going to take it over because they don't know how to play ball. And then you're gone. I mean, really, that's how it's going to work out. And then you'll be in the UK situation, which personally I can speak to. Since my father was in a socialized country with socialized medicine, and he was 89 years old, sick as all get out, stuck in a hospital for 3 weeks where they dithered and didn't treat him and just kept sticking an NG tube down his little throat till he lost about 50, 60 pounds. And that last day when I said, my dad, what are you going to do? He needs to be treated. Well, we're never going to operate on him. He's got an obstruction. If you don't operate him, he's going to die. So my only choice was to pull him out to a private doctor who did surgery. And long story short, my dad danced at his 90th birthday. Had I left him in this system, he would have been dead. And I remember this vividly. All of the senior citizens were at the end of the hall, the farthest from the nurse's station, and every day, basically, one of his roommates would die. They put a young person in for like 5 minutes, and they took him out as fast as they can take him out, because that was like the killing field. Do you really, really want that for your loved one? And it's not just the seniors. They're going to do it to the neonates and the kids who were born with multiple medical problems and people who are in catastrophic injury. Let's talk about the lady who was in a coma, who they tried to do organ harvesting when she wasn't dead and she wasn't in a vegetative state. They could care less. Let's just make some money. And now you have a system where, and this is shocking to me. I didn't realize this. I reread my Hippocratic Oath, but the Hippocratic Oath has changed. So before, you weren't allowed to perform euthanasia. You weren't allowed to offer abortions. That's gone now. So those are all in the new Hippocratic Oath, the Geneva version of the Hippocratic Oath. And we were supposed to defend life, sorry, our patients and life. Now it's just, I'm sorry, health and life of the patient. Now it's just health of the patient, not life, which allows you to do the euthanasia, to do abortions post-birth, because it's not part of your oath anymore. And to top it off, the people in the UK, only 50% of them actually do the Hippocratic Oath, even though it's that one, when they graduate. 50%, that means 50% give no oath at all. They're just out and about. There's still 98% of the American medical schools that make you do it, but it's altered. And I don't think that most of them tell you you can't do abortions or euthanasia anymore. It's been bastardized. That's my point. So the oath has changed so that you can do the bidding of the powers that be and not break an oath.
Who controls the oath? Who changed it?
Well, it's all started from WHO, the World Health Organization, and the Geneva changes in it. I mean, the Hippocratic Oath is ancient, so that's what it is.
Yeah,
it should never have changed.
Aristocracy.
It is the underpinning of what a physician's supposed to be. But because it has to, just like our laws, like they say that the Supreme Court, the Constitution, it's the same argument. It has to be updated for the morals of the time and blah, blah,
it's
blah.
It's a living document.
Exactly. So it's what they've done to the Hippocratic Oath. So technically, unless you have a doctor who really believes in the old Hippocratic Oath, you are on your own, because they don't have your best interest anymore at heart. They weren't trained that way. Now I get it. I didn't get it before. I'm like, how can any colleague want to join this system when they're being told what to treat, how to treat, when to euthanize, when to pull the plug? It's not them deciding this. It's the bioethics committees. It's the government. It's shove them into hospice. I've worked with these guys. I've worked in a system where I had to approve admissions. And under Medicare guidelines, it's just devastating not to be able to tell someone they can have their loved one go to a skilled nursing facility because they were only admitted as an outpatient or observation instead of inpatient. Total crap. They could have heart disease, diabetes, hypertension, but if they don't meet certain criteria when they get admitted, then they're put into a pool called observation. And that takes them out of the ability to go for long-term skilled nursing so they can get back up on their feet, let's say they broke their hip. They can't afford, the government will not pay for that anymore. They want to send them home to die. Who's going to be able to take a 70-year-old with a broken hip and rehab them in their house? It's not going to happen. So this is the system. It's mercenary. It's cruel. It's evil. But it's being packaged like there's something wrong with you if you don't want it. And the Republicans are bad people because they're trying to keep people from having this panacea system. It's not what people think.
You know, I can't help thinking, you've heard the old saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Mm.
You know, our system back in the 50s and even the early 60s wasn't perfect. But then again, I don't know of anything that is perfect.
It was the envy of the world, though.
But it was the envy of the world.
And people still come here to get treatment. Listen, this all, let's break it down for people listening. This started in 1965. The beginning of the end started in 1965 when Medicare was passed, which was an amendment to the Social Security Act or whatever it is, bill, whatever. But the bottom line is, and we talked about this before we started, Medicare is socialized medicine, nationalized health care, which was designed for the senior. It was like they were the test ground, with the mindset that over time it would be Medicare for all. Just if you take nothing away from today's show, take this. When they say Medicare for all, it's socialized medicine. It's nationalization of health care. It's the expansion from what the seniors have been living with to everybody. Period. It sounds better, right? It doesn't make people afraid. Medicare for all get covered. All will be fabulous. No, it won't.
You know, I can wrap this up in one word, and it comes back to human greed. We talked about this, and my grandparents, my parents, they all label it socialized medicine. When Medicare slash then Medicaid, they said, you know, and I can remember our best friends was my father's and my mother's doctor, and them sitting in the living room talking about Medicare, and that it was the first step towards socialized medicine. And yet, if they talk to anybody, particularly if they talk to anybody at the university level, oh, no, this is good. This helps take care of everybody and will be for us down the road as we become elderly. And it's our safety net.
Yeah, that's
safety
kiss
net.
Of death. When they say that, it's not. What about Social Security? That's your safety net too. And this is the same scam run multiple times now. They told you with Social Security, you pay into this, and when you get to be 65, you're going to have all this money coming back. They took your money. They raided it. They raided that trust fund so many times. There's so many IOUs in there can choke a horse with. They're not going to pay that back.
Which was illegal.
Of course. They've committed all sorts of crimes. But the bottom line is, instead of paying you back, they're going to try to break the system. Make you work until you're 70. Make sure you don't make it to 70. Then you can't access what the money you put in. And why are they pushing for so many young people? Because they need fresh money in this pot, in this Ponzi scheme. So by trying to indoctrinate the young to think, well, I'm going to get something for nothing and I'm going to pay into the system, it's going to be fabulous. What you're doing is you're replacing the money that they took from you. Then they're going to figure out all sorts of ways to not pay it back to you. If you make it, I mean, I'm seeing people, children with lung cancer. Really? I've never heard of that. Lung cancer. I remember being in training, seeing kids with leukemia, maybe not even lymphoma, leukemia. That was the childhood awful disease. Now they're coming in with lung cancer? When are they going to come in with ovarian cancer as a kid? You know, it's coming, right? I think I wrote an article called Obamacare Smoke and Mirrors. If you go to my website, drelenageorge.com, there's a link from a doctor named Curtis Kane, a Mississippi doctor who wrote this in 1966. He wrote about Medicare, and he laid out exactly what's going to happen, and it's coming to pass. And there's one thing that I like that he said. I mean, it's all a little – it's broken down tenets. But one thing he said was, socialized medicine, stripped of its deceptive whitewash, is reactionary. It's the imposition of central power and control over America and Americans in the false guise of beneficence. It is the opposite of the American way. Sums it up to me. You're going to take a group of people, doctors, professionals, people who actually sacrificed, and strip away what makes them them by fear, by intimidation. And trust me, doctors will be, if you decide to opt in and be yourself, you're going to go to jail because there's all sorts of bells and triggers in place to take you out. If you undercode, if you overcode, if you don't put the right decimal point on your ICD-10 code, that's fraud. And Holder will come for you. You'll be in jail, $25,000 fine. The first offense, $100,000 fine. The second offense, jail, I think it's 5 years. Third offense. What doctor in their right mind would put up with that? If they cared, they'd be gone.
You know, as we've spoken before many times on this show, people still think it's the doctor.
Yeah.
And we, you know, they've got to get over that. I know from our discussions, I know from other medical friends that we've got to re-educate. And time's, I mean, time is not running out. It has run out.
Well, we still have options, though. And, you know, I understand why the patients have that feeling, because doctors, as a group, as a whole, drank the Kool-Aid. You know, they were told that if once insurance came in, instead of them saying, I'm worth more, I'm not taking that fee, shove it, then this never would have happened. And if patients had said to themselves, I want to see the doctor I want to see, no one's going to stop me from seeing what I want or have what I want done, I don't want any more insurance, I'm just going to do catastrophic and forget this. And they actually did do it a bit with HMOs. They died off because people were so unhappy with gatekeepers and getting referrals and being managed to death. But that was the point. The primary care got to keep the money because it was capitated. So they didn't want to send them to specialists because they lose money. So people spoke and voted with their pocketbooks. Now we can do it again. What we need to educate people to understand is if you're in the system, it equals bad health care. It equals crappy health care, which is designed as a eugenics culling system. While you get paid, fleeced for exorbitant payments into it. If you say, I'm not going to opt into that, I'm going to go to an independent physician, I'm going to stay in a surgery center that's independent from the hospital, I'm going to use labs that are not Quest or LabCorp or just private independent, trust me, you're going to spend a fraction of what you're spending, and you're also going to get more state-of-the-art innovative care. I worked in hospitals. I know exactly what goes on with them. If I want to do a procedure that I like the radiofrequency surgery for my tonsillectomy, for example, which is a great procedure because you have less pain, less bleeding, faster recovery. It took me months to talk the hospital into getting the equipment that I needed because they didn't want to do it. Bovi, you know, everything that was old school, they'll keep. But if it's something newfangled, unless they can make money on it, they're not going to offer it. Where I'm in my office, I'm doing balloon dilation of the sinuses so I can do sinus surgery and not have to take someone to the OR. I have all the incentive in the world to be as fast and as good and as patient-friendly as possible because I want the business. The hospital could care less. They don't even offer balloons dilation. Doesn't get paid for it. They don't want to do it. But then the patient's on general anesthesia hook and OR fees, and it costs 5 or 6 times more what it would cost if they just stayed in my office and paid a copay. That's the future of medicine. So people need to become savvy consumers. Stop reading and thinking and being swayed by the hype, because the hype, as everybody knows, when people market stuff, most of the time it's not true. It's glitzy, it's glossy, it's trying to coerce you nicely into doing what they want you to do. So if you now start to do your own due diligence, start to shop around, don't depend on the government to tell you it's the cheapest to stay X. Figure it out for yourself. Go to your doctor. If you're not happy, if they're not listening to you, if they don't return your call, if they're in a hospital system, you know, you're paying money. Get out of it. Get somebody who's going to be at your beck and call if you want that. Someone who's going to sit with you and talk for 25 minutes about bowling or whatever before they get to the healthcare part. Get what, instead of settling, actually decide that I'm worth something. I, as a physician, am worthy of practicing and of being the best doctor that I can be. And patient, and I choose not to be less than. Now it's time for patients to make that decision and other doctors to make that decision and Americans to make that decision. So on that note, let's wrap it up. This is Medicine on Call. And if you want to read more of what I've written, you can go to my website, drelanageorge.com, and to trustdale.com and TrustDale TV. And you can find me there as well. Have a great day.